for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
You had no idea, did you? See, we all have things that we're naturally good at. We all have things that we're not so good at. And many of us have things we wish we were good at that we're not good at. Like our boy TJ here. You see him, you hear him. He's talented in certain areas. Basketball just does not happen to be one of them. Right? Now, the reason I showed that video, the reason I bring that up is because it's January. It's the time for resolutions, and it's the time where we tend to focus on the areas where we're not so great. We focus on the areas where we don't excel, where we don't do well. And we think about them, and we make plans, and we make preparations, and we make commitments that we're going to fix those things, and we're going to change those things, and we're going to give us the ability to excel in certain areas, right? We don't really worry about the places where we're already doing well. Like if you naturally already, in 2013, if you went to the gym about 4 or 5 times a week, you know, I doubt your New Year's resolution was to get in better shape, right? Unless you're a CrossFit freak, and then there's no help for you because you need to work out like 12 times a day and what, you're in great shape, but you see your wife like once a month. It's like, sorry, I got CrossFit. I'm just kidding. I love CrossFit. Don't send me emails, please, because I won't read them. But right, we don't focus on the areas where we're already doing well, right? We think about all the areas where we're not doing well, and we try to improve them, right? We're talking about changing the way we change, right? That's the whole point of this series. And what if I were to tell you that the key to changing the areas of your life you don't like is to focus on the areas of your life that you do like? What if I were to tell you that the key to change in your life is to not spend so much time thinking about the areas where you don't do well, but instead lean in and focus on the places where you naturally excel and where you naturally do well in life? You probably wouldn't believe me, right? It sounds kind of like last week. It's like an infomercial, and for $19.99, I'll tell you how to do this. But it really is what I believe. I genuinely believe that if we can stop focusing so much on the little areas that we want to improve, and we can lean in instead and focus on what we already do well, we can change many areas of our life. And I know for some of you that it makes you uncomfortable, right? You're like, well, I don't like to talk about what I do well. It's not polite to focus on what you already do well. That's bragging, right? I don't want to brag. I don't want to come off as arrogant about all the things I do well. And you'd be right. I don't want you to brag. I don't want you to be arrogant either. But here's the thing. We tend to brag about things that we had some control over, right? And what I'm going to argue today is the things in your life that you do really well naturally, you had a lot less control over those areas than we like to admit. Now, yeah, you've honed your craft. You've honed your skill. But you had a lot less control over having that ability than you sometimes admit. Take TJ again, for example, right? TJ's a talented musician, okay? And he shares the office. He's in the office right beside mine. So I know for a fact TJ hones his craft. I know he practices the guitar. I hear him working on new songs and all that, right? So he works at it. But here's what I know. I know I could spend the exact same amount of time practicing guitar as TJ, and I would never be as good as TJ at the guitar. And let's not even talk about singing, right? I've been singing my entire life in the car and in the shower. Right, lots of hours, lots of practice. It is not for public consumption. American Idol's about to start next week. I wish more people understood that truth. But see, TJ, yeah, he's crafted it, but right, he was naturally born with a skill. He was naturally born with a talent for music. Right? It just comes naturally to him. I think most of us have something like that in our lives, where we just have something, it's a skill, it's an ability, it's a trait, and it just kind of comes naturally to us. Maybe you were born and you are just naturally smarter than other people. I know you all think you're smarter than other people, but some of us actually are smarter than other people. I'm so sorry. You just got an insight into my soul. I hope you can continue to listen. Some people are born with more humility than others. Some people are born and they can just naturally figure things out, right? You're strategic. Some people are born and they're naturally nicer and happier than other people. Some people are born and they're just naturally more outgoing. It's easy for them to connect with other people. They've never met a stranger, right? If you have kids, you see this in your kids, right? They're born different. And by the time they're 3 or 4 years old, you can already tell, like, you know, this one's going to be good at math. This one's going to be good at science. This one's got a lot of energy. And I don't know what to do with that, but God, you gave him a lot of energy. Yeah! Now, look, I don't want you to think I think I'm, like, giving some great wisdom here, right? I don't feel like I'm telling you anything that you don't already know. Right? You get that some people are born with different strengths and different talents. Well, I believe that every single person in this room and every single person on this planet was born with certain skills and certain strengths and certain talents and certain abilities. And I believe that if you want to achieve change in your life, the key or a key is to lean in and to embrace and to focus on the places where you're naturally talented. Now, even if you're not sure I'm right, and you shouldn't be sure I'm right yet because I haven't explained why I believe it, just step back for a moment and just ask yourself, man, what if he's right? What if the key to changing the things in my life I don't like is to lean in and focus on the things in my life I do like? What if instead of having to consistently fail and fail and fail and fail to change the things I don't like, I can lean in to the places where I already excel, places where I'm already good, and do that more? Wouldn't that be more, let's just say it, more fun? Wouldn't that be more fulfilling? Wouldn't that be more exciting? Wouldn't you wake up most days feeling a lot better about yourself than you do for the first 2 weeks of January before you give up on your New Year's resolutions, you know, and you fail? Well, see, that's exactly what I think the God of the universe has planned for each of us when it comes to change in our life. And the reason I believe that is because a man named Paul talks about it. We talk about Paul here a lot at Wellspring because Paul wrote about half of what we consider the New Testament, which is the story of Jesus coming to earth, rescuing humanity, and the spread of his church. And Paul was a pastor. Paul was a man who had an encounter with Jesus and changed his life, and he became a church leader. He would go around, he would start churches, but he was also a leader of churches. Like, basically, Paul would write letters to the churches that he started and give them instructions. But Paul also became such a leader to where other churches that he didn't even start, and sometimes he'd never even been there, he would still write them letters to give them instructions for how to live their life. And what we believe is that when Paul was writing these letters, that the God of the universe was actually leading Paul to write these letters, that God was speaking through Paul as he wrote these letters, and we can read these letters 2,000 years later, and we can know what God wants us to do in our life. And today we're going to look at a letter Paul wrote to a church in the city of Rome. And at this time, Paul had never been to the city of Rome. He'd never met this church, but he wanted to write them a letter. And it's one of the longest letters Paul wrote, and he basically outlines all that God did, all that who Jesus is, and what you should do with your life, and how you should give your life to him, and you should follow Jesus, and why it's important, how you paid the price for our sins, and all this stuff. And then, in chapter 12, Paul basically says, okay, because all this is true, I want you to follow God with your life. And then, in chapter 12, verse 3, Paul begins talking about what we're talking about right now. And he begins talking about changing the way we change. And what Paul says is one of the keys to changing the way you change is to lean in to the areas of your life where you naturally excel. It's the exact opposite of what you think. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Romans 12. If not, it's going to be up on the screen just like always. And I want to show you what Paul says. And as we read what Paul says, I hope you'll begin to understand why you have these strengths and these skills and these talents and what you're supposed to do with them. Because that's the key to becoming who God wants us to become. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bibles. And let's kind of start this way. Paul begins in Romans 12, verse 3, and he says something you're going to be a little confused by, but it's okay, because it's okay to be confused sometimes by the Bible, because if you keep reading, it explains it. Here's what Paul says. He says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me. This is Paul. Paul is a leader. He said, God's given me the privilege and the authority to say this. I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. And I know that probably sounds confusing, because I'm just telling you, hey, think you're better than you are. I'm saying focus on all the good stuff in your life, all the strengths, all the skills, all the talents you naturally have. Lean into those. And Paul's saying, but don't think you're better than you really are. This almost sounds contradictory, but it's not. We're actually saying the same thing. He says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. He's like, look, don't think you're better than you are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Now, let me kind of step back and try to help you understand what it is I believe Paul's saying. Right? See, I've just been talking about how we're all born with natural skills and natural talents and natural abilities. Right? And I think the key to changing your life is to focus on those. And so when you say that, then you read this, and Paul says, hey, but don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. What Paul's trying to say is this. He says, look, don't think you're better than you really are. Don't try to take credit for the places in your life where you're naturally talented. Don't try to act like you had anything to do with it. You have those abilities because someone decided you should have those abilities. See, we even have a word for this, whether you believe in God or not, right? The word we have for the natural talents and abilities we're born with, we call them gifts. We say, oh, he's got a gift for music. Man, he's a gifted athlete. All right, and what we all mean when we say that is they didn't do anything to deserve this. Everybody doesn't get this. They were just naturally born with the ability and the talent to do certain things. And what Paul's trying to say is the person who gave you that stuff is a guy named God. And so as you look at your life, as you evaluate your life, as you list the skills and strengths you have in your life, be honest in your evaluation of yourself. And do not think yourself better than you are. In other words, don't try to take credit for the good things in your life. Acknowledge that they are a gift. Now, if you're here today and you believe in God, you probably don't have much problem with that. But one of the things I love about Wellspring is that we have people every week that attend our church that don't believe in God. You're here because somebody invited you. Maybe you know somebody up on stage. Maybe somebody promised you a meal afterwards, which make sure you get that meal. Because I tell them to do that. I say bribe you to get you to church with food. I'm pro-bribery for church. I don't care why you get here. I just want you here, right? But you're here and you're like, okay, that's great and all, but I don't believe in God, so God didn't give me a gift. That's fine. But it doesn't change the fact that when you talk about these natural skills and talents and abilities other people have, you still use the word gift. Everybody uses the word gift. Everybody, oh man, he's gifted. He's got a gift for that. Oh, she's got a gift for hospitality. Man, he's just got a gift for art. And all my only question for you today is this, if you don't believe in God. If you use the term gift, and we all know what it means some ability you got you had nothing to do with. Who gives the gift if it's not a more powerful, higher being that created you with a purpose? Why even use the phrase gift? Why not call it a freak ability or something? I think it's because we all, somewhere deep down in our souls, know that there's more than us. And I know there's more than us. And I believe God has given each of us gifts, abilities, talents. And I believe one of the keys to achieving the change you want in your life is to first be able to step back and acknowledge that every good thing in my life, everything that helps me succeed in business, that helps me succeed in relationships, that helps me succeed as a parent, that helps me succeed with my friends, is an ability that was given to me by the God of the universe. So the only thing I should ever be proud about in my life is the giver of the gifts I have in my life. See, that's what Paul's trying to say. Here's the continuation of what he just said. He says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. He's like, don't focus on the gifts, focus on the giver of the gift. And if you notice what he even says there, he says, measure yourself by the faith God has given you. That means we can't even be proud of the fact that we believe in God, because God gave us the faith to believe in him. It's all from him. It's all from God. Now you may be wondering, what does this have to do with change? How does this revelation, how does this realization help me actually achieve change in my life? And that's a fantastic question. And it goes back to what we talked about last week. And if you weren't here, I'll briefly summarize. Last week, I gave the first fact that's going to change the way we change. And this was the fact. When it comes to change in our life, it's not a project. It's a process. See, we view change like a project. I have a get-in-shape project. I have a plan. I'm going to execute the plan, and then I'm going to be finished. But if you ever try to get in shape, you know you're never finished. Well, what the God of the universe has been saying to us all along is like, look, 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 all the things you want to change in your life, they're not projects, because you can't change them anyway. Only I can change. And the way we're going to change is not through a project, it's through a process. And that process is a growing relationship with the God of the universe through his son, Jesus Christ. And as that relationship grows, then you are going to change, because as we said last week, change is the fruit of a growing relationship with God. It's the byproduct. It's what is produced as you give your life to Jesus and you let him change you from the inside out and become the person he wants you to become. So an extension of that process is this week. It's just simply acknowledging all the good things in your life, your keen business sense, your way to manage money, your ability to influence people and convince them to do whatever you want, whatever it is in your life that makes you successful, was given to you by God. So you can't brag about it, and you can't take credit for it. I just think about that for a minute. Think about how your life would just change if you just embraced that truth. And instead of letting the things you have in your life make you arrogant, you can let the things you have in your life make you thankful, make you grateful. See, that's the point. When you acknowledge, when you look at your life and you see all these gifts and strengths and talents, you're like, man, God, thank you so much for giving these things to me. And that gratitude comes out of your heart. Gratitude's a powerful emotion. Gratitude leads us to do a lot of things. If you are grateful to someone, you're going to do whatever they want you to do, right? Would your life be different if you had that feeling for the God of the universe? And every good thing in your life produced gratitude to him for what he's done for you? You think that would make it easier to obey him in certain areas of your life and to become who he wants you to be? I think so. I think so. And so that's the first part, is to step back and acknowledge all these strengths, all these talents, all these gifts were given to me. But if you're a smart person, you're probably asking this question. You're saying, okay, I get that God gave me gifts and I can begin to work through that. But my question is this, if he's given me these gifts, why did he give them to me? Is it just so I can become a successful businessman, or just so that I can do what I do, and just so I can, and that's a great question, because no, there's not. There's a higher purpose for why God's given you what he's given you. And Paul talks about that next, is what he says. In verse 4, he says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We're many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. See, he goes to a picture we can all understand, because we all have bodies, right? And we all understand that we have different body parts, and they all have different functions, but they all work together to accomplish one goal, right? But my fingers cannot smell. That's what my nose does. My tongue is really good at tasting, right? It's really bad at smelling. You understand that, right? All your different body parts have different skills, different strengths, different talents, but they all work together to accomplish, you know, the living of your life. Well, when Paul says, it's just the same with Christ's body, that's just a fancy way of saying the church. Paul often refers to the church as the body of Christ because he's trying to create this picture of that we're all a part of it, and that we all, while we're unique and we're different and we all have different roles to play, we have different strengths and different talents, we all should come together and play those roles as one group, as one body. Right? That's how it works. And so what Paul's really trying to say is each of us in this room has a role to play in the church, in Christ's body. We have a role to play in God's plan of rescuing humanity. Right? And I know you may be wondering, okay, well, what's your role? How do you know what your role is? How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know what I should do, what role I should play, what function I should do? And it's exactly what we've been talking about this entire time. Here's what Paul says. He says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. So he's given us the gifts for a purpose. And that purpose is to play our role in his story of rescuing humanity. That's why you have the skills and the gifts and the strengths that you do. If you are naturally hospitable and you love taking care of people and having people in your home, God wants you to use that for him. If you're naturally funny and people just feel warm around you and just drawn to you, that's a gift that God's given you that he wants to use to change the world. If you're naturally smart, if you naturally understand business, if you naturally understand money, if you can just make deals happen, that's a gift that God has given you and he wants you to use it to change the world. Paul actually goes on to outline a few of these gifts. And here's what he says. He says, just continuing, he says, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. And prophecy is a scary sounding word to say at church, isn't it? Some of you just went, what? You know what that really means? The ability to clearly understand and speak the truth. Many of you at work, in business deals, you just have an ability to cut through all the garbage, all the talk, and see exactly what's actually going on. You can see truth. When you're with your group of friends, when everybody's arguing, what should we do? I don't know. You know, how do I handle a situation? You just know in your gut how you're supposed to handle it, right? You just know truth. All he's saying is when you know truth, speak it, because that's a gift. It's a gift to be able to read the Bible and understand the truth and understand what God wants you to do. It's a gift. Use it. That's all he's talking about. He says this. He says, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. Some people just love taking care of other people. And my guess is if that's a natural talent of yours, that's probably what your job is in some way. And what Paul's saying is, hey, that's fine that you're using it for that, but God gave you that to use for his purpose. God gave you that to use to help him change the world. If you're a teacher, teach well. Can we all admit teaching is a gift? We know that, right? Because we've all had teachers with the gift, and we've all had teachers without the gift. You know, you got that gifted teacher who can just explain it to you five different ways, and it's amazing, and then you got that teacher that just needed a job, and they read the book to you, right? It's the worst. But if you have that gift, if you have the gift of being able to teach and instruct someone else on how to do things, God's saying use it for his glory. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, how many of you think about when you're leading the companies you start, or you're leading your home and you're leading these things, and you know, all growing up, you know, people told you, oh, you're just a natural leader, you're a born leader. You know, kind of let it go to your head. You know, oh, this is great. That is a gift that God gave you. And he is asking you to use that gift for him. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, right? Paul talks about the gifts God's given us in many of his letters, and he lists other that this is just an example, right? But here's what I know. Here's the point. Here's the truth of today. If you're here today, whether you believe in God or not, and this is key, it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not right now. Because God believes in you. And he believed in you so much that before you were born, he planned you out. He designed you. And he created you with certain skills and certain strengths and certain abilities and certain gifts that he did not give anyone else. Because he has a role designed for you and just for you to play in his story. And I'm telling you right now, you will never achieve the change you want in your life. You'll never become that person you want to be in your life. You'll never have the relationships you want in your life. You'll never have the marriage you want in your life. You'll never have the family you want in your life. You'll never have the contentment with your work you want in your life. You'll never have the kids you want in your life until you embrace the fact that he gave you those gifts and you begin playing your role in his story. So here's the second fact about changing the way we change. When it comes to change, it's not achieving, it's receiving. See, we want to think about all the stuff we can achieve and all the changes we can make and all the things we can do in all the areas we can fix. And God says, I don't know why you think you could do that. Because every good thing in your life you have because I gave you. So why don't you focus on that? Why don't you embrace that? Why don't you embrace what you've already received? And why don't you use that the way I want you to use it? Because if I gave you that before you were born, how much more do you think I'm going to give you when you start walking the life I want you to live? So we think we have to do it ourselves. And God's like, no. It's not achieving, it's receiving. You've already received so much. You've already received so many gifts and so many blessings. Just begin to use them for God. And I tell you, I promise you, I've watched it happen as the pastor of this church. When you lean in and you embrace who you're designed to be, those bad habits, those things you want to get rid of, they just naturally fall away. And you look back and you're like, how did I stop doing that? And it's like, oh, I didn't even think about it because I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was walking the life I was created to walk. So here's my question for you today. What gifts has God given you? What are you naturally good at? What are the places where you excel? What are the subjects in school that came easy as a kid? What are the places you've never struggled? You've always been able to have relationships, or you've always been able to lead at work, or again, you've always had a great gut for business. You just had a good gut. You just knew when it was right. Well, maybe today for the first time you can step back and say, you know what, that wasn't a gut. That had nothing to do with me. That was God giving me a gift, giving me the ability to be able to see clearly and giving me wisdom and giving me favor as I make these choices. See, we want to focus on the negative and where we fail. And God says, but I just haven't worked on that yet. Let's focus on the gift. Let's win every day. Instead of waking up every day and losing and failing, let's win every day. Every day you can wake up, lean into your strengths, lean into what your skills and what God created you to do. You can do that, and you can be fulfilled as God uses it to change the world. Now, I know some of you may say, I don't know what my skills are. I don't know what my strengths are. I don't know what my gifts are. I mean, I know I'm good at a certain thing, but I certainly wouldn't know how to use it for God, how to use it for a church. I wouldn't know how to do all that. Well, you know what? You literally could not be in a better place. Because in another letter, Paul says, my job, one of my primary jobs actually is your pastor. And one of the primary jobs of everybody on staff here at Wellspring is to equip you to do what God wants you to do. What that means is it's our job to help figure out where your gifts are and unleash you on the world. And that's what we're going to do today. Actually, we're going to begin that process today. Now, when we dismiss, there's going to be tables outside. And each table represents a different area you can serve here at Wellspring, a different place where you can begin to use your skills and strengths and talents to change the world. And what we're going to challenge you to do today is to just consider serving. And the way you consider serving is signing up to take a test drive, right? You're not signing your life away. You're not saying, I'm going to take care of babies for 6 months, because let's be honest, You don't want to. But it's just a test drive. A test drive is, hey, one time, you're going to try it out. And if it's a good fit, if you like it, then we'll talk about signing up to serve. If you don't like it, we'll try something else. And we have so many places where you can serve at Wellspring. In fact, in 2014, we have more places than we've ever had before. In fact, if you have your connection card, well, you all have one. It's under your chair. Reach under and grab your connection card. Everybody do it. Everybody's going to do it, so just don't look around. Everybody grab that card. Okay? Because what I want to do very quickly is I want to talk through some of our places where you can serve, because we have so many opportunities. It starts, you see them every week when you pull up in our parking lot. Our guest services team are second to none. Guest services are, they do parking. They're the greeters who meet you when you come in. They check you into your areas. They're the ushers that help you find seats. Man, if you're one of those people that just naturally likes other people, maybe you're in a career, you're in a sales career or something like that, and it's just easy for you to talk to people, guest service is the easiest place for you to start. Because all that is helping people connect to our church, right? If you like working with, if you have the gift that I do not have, and it is a gift called loving other people's children, right? I mean, I love my children, and I love you, and I love your children. I just don't want your children to be at my house, right? Some people have the gift of loving other people's children, and it is a gift. And if you have that gift, use it. You can work with children from zero all the way up to seniors in high school, all the way up to students. We have places where you can use that skill and that gift and that talent to change lives. You know, maybe you've been sitting here the whole time saying, you know, my skill set's to be up on that stage. I'm gifted in music. I'm gifted in singing. You know what? You got to let us know. You got to let us know. Now, American Idol starting up this week. And if you watch that show, you're going to discover there are many people that think they have the skill and the gift and the talent of singing that don't have the skill and the gift and talent of singing. Right? And you need to know TJ is Simon Cowell. We don't play. All right? But man, if that's your natural gift, that's your natural talent, that's your natural ability, use it. Use it. There's all kinds of areas. I'll tell you one of the most exciting areas for me this year is our Love Rev partners. Because I know there's been years where people, I mean, you don't know where to serve. You don't want to shake hands. You don't want to open doors. That's not you. Well, here's the cool thing. I'm convinced that if you serve with our Love Rev partners, you're serving the local church. And what that means is this. If you have a heart for the homeless, if you have a heart for battered women and children, and you want to sign up to volunteer at Street Reach or with our battered women's shelter, I believe you are serving at Wellspring. Here's another one. One of our partners is the Myrtle Beach Primary. I believe, and they're going to love me for this. They're going to love me for this. If you're a parent at that school and you sign up and you become involved in the PTA, and while you're there, you represent Christ, you're serving at Wellspring. You're serving at Wellspring. I believe that with all my heart. Because it's not just about, I know you, every time I preach this message, you think, oh, they need help, and we don't. We have a lot of volunteers. We really do. But what I know is that you're never going to become the person God wants you to become. And your life is never going to become the life you want until you are embracing your design and your skills and your strengths, and you're using them the way God intended you to use them. And so that's what today's about. It's about giving you that opportunity. And I know some of you served before. Maybe you're tired of serving. Maybe, you know, maybe you find yourself sometimes saying, man, I wish I had different gifts. You know, maybe you're TJ. You're good at music, but you wish you could play basketball. Here's what I'll say. It's hard for God to bless something. And it's hard for God to give you a renewed passion and vision for something that you're constantly trying to escape. You can't escape who it is God created you to be. But you can embrace it. You can play your role. I guarantee you, God will change your life in ways you've never imagined if you do. So here's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to pray and we're going to sing a song. And during that song, I want you to sing the words, but I also want you to reflect. I want you to ask yourself the question, okay, what am I good at? What are my skills and strengths and talents? What should I sign up for? And if you know the answer to that question, go ahead and fill this card out. Check the boxes, and you can drop it in the box on the way out. You can go ahead and sign up right now. If you don't, we're going to have leaders out there that represent every area of service we have. I challenge you, don't just walk out the door. Ask some, even if you're a first-time guest, you can sign up today. Because like I said, it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. God believed in you, and he gave you skills and strengths and talents, and he wants you to use them for his glory. That's a fact. The question is, what are we going to do about it? So if you know what you want to do, you can sign up on your card and just drop it in the box on the way out. If not, have some conversations. Talk to some leaders. Get a feel for some areas. Take a couple of test drives. And see what God has in store. I'm telling you, if you want change in your life, if you want to become the person you dreamt about when you made those New Year's resolutions, you got to accept the second fact that it's not achieving, it's receiving. You're not going to achieve change, you're going to receive change when you embrace who God has created you to be. So let me pray for you. And then as you sing this song, reflect and ask God, where have you gifted me? What role do you want me to play in your story? And then sign up to try it. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. And we just thank you that you are so gracious with us and you are so generous that you give us gifts and you bless us and you've designed us in different, unique ways to play a role in your story. Father, I pray right now that you just give us all the wisdom to know how it is you've created us and give us the conviction to take a step toward becoming the man or woman you designed us to be. We love you, Father. We ask you to accept our gift back to you of obedience. And we thank you for the gifts in our life. It's in your Son's amazing name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.